We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is time for the John Chuckery Show. Late night with you here on this Monday evening. We are asking you to download the Odyssey.com app. We know you're not in the car as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the station and the show. How do I do it? Best way is through the Odyssey.com app. Put that on one of your devices today, right? Smartphone, tablet, Lexus speakers, Commodore 64, Sega Genesis, Coleco, Intellivision, whatever your device is, just download onto something to be able to catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. As always, the best way to be a part of the show, give us a follow on our personal Twitter handles. Hit me up at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. On the other side of the glass from me producing the show, as always, Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90. We will be with you here till 2 a.m., coming off a successful Hawks victory. I said this on Saturday, and we had Mike Conney on. You know, give the Hawks credit that they pretty well just navigated their way through the last, you know, couple of weeks, if you will, where Trey was out and you're kind of getting John Collins back in the fold and just all the, you know, on top of all the already injuries. By the way, Jarvis, they got the NFL Network up here. That MJ Acosta? Wow. Anyway, yeah, she's in yellow up there. But anyway, the Hawks did, I thought, a really good job of kind of navigating. Yeah, they got blown out twice by Philly. Guess what? They're not better than Philadelphia. Maybe at full strength, it's a more fun series. I'm buying that they're better than Philadelphia. So, okay, you know, I got no problem with that. Detroit game, you know, you got everybody out. You know, you don't score a whole lot. You just had to navigate your way through some of these games. And I thought the Hawks did a really good job of that. And now they're starting to get some bodies and some personnel back. So, you know, Bogdanovich is back, and Herter's back, and Gallinari playing well. You know, Gallinari led them in scoring tonight with 28 points and 8 rebounds. So he was terrific tonight, 7 of 10 from three-point land. Bogdanovich hit 7 threes in the game as well. So on a night where Trae Young didn't shoot the ball very well, 6 of 16 from the floor and 1 of 6 from 3, you got two big performances from Bogdanovich and Gallinari, two big free agents that came in, stepped up. But the Hawks did a really nice job of navigating their way through that, like I said, about a two-week stretch of games. Yeah, you got blown out Philly. You beat Miami and Milwaukee, right? So everything kind of balanced itself out. And because of that, now the Hawks and Hawks now have six games left. Thank you, Jesus. Can we please get the regular season over with? Jarvis, we're at six games now. And we got another one on Wednesday and Thursday. No, sorry. Wednesday and Thursday of this week yet. But Hawks did a really good job of navigating their way through these waters and now have set themselves up in a position where they very much can be that 4-5 seed. And you avoid all the play-in stuff. You avoid the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia and Milwaukee. You avoid the top three teams and you avoid the play-in. That 4-5 spot, that's ideal. And the Hawks navigated their way through. They kept their head above water and were able to win enough games to keep themselves in that position. And now a good win on Saturday against the Bulls. Now a good win tonight against Portland. And yeah, you've got the best team maybe in the NBA so far this year in Phoenix coming in on Wednesday. But here's the thing. Here again, it's another West Coast team coming in to your building, and you don't know what they're going to be like, and are they ready to just get this, done? And so I think it sets himself in a good position there. Then you go to Indiana. Okay, that's your final road game of the year is going to Indiana, who's now four games below 500 themselves. And by the way, the funny thing about Indiana, they're no good at home. They're below 500 at home, and they're above 500 on the road, if you can figure that one out. So they're not a good home team, and that's your only road game that you have left. Then you'll come back home against Washington Monday of next week. So it really does set itself up well for the Hawks to be able to get this thing to where they're 4 or 5. I don't care either one. Obviously if you're the 4 seed, you get the home court advantage. That would be pretty cool. But I'll take a 4 or 5 spot. If you told me the Hawks would be a 4 or 5 seed come playoff time, I wouldn't abide it, but I'll take it. And the Hawks find themselves in a good position with all of this. So good victory tonight. Hawks do get the win against the Portland Trailblazers, 123-114, now 36-30 on the season. Real nice home record, by the way, 20-11 at home. No Braves tonight as they wrapped up the weekend set against the Blue Jays, which was not very successful. Again, the one thing that's saving the Braves is the fact that the division stinks. The Mets lead the division at 11-11, with the Nationals at 12-12. Okay, so Braves are two games behind in the division, but four games under 500. To say, I said this on Twitter, say it's been an underwhelming start to the Atlanta Braves season and a maddening, frustrating start, is the understatement of the year. I don't know what to make of the Braves at this point. They have some performances that are really good. At times their offense really gets it kicked up into gear, but they're a minus 16 run differential this year. And they've lost four in a row. I don't know. Fried's coming back for this series, and they got the day off today, headed to Washington. All right, Max Fried's coming back. All right. How many more starts are you giving Drew Smiley? How many more? I would tell you he's got two starts in him. And if he can't get it figured it out in the next two starts, you have to seriously start talking about finding another option. I'm not saying you're going to cut him or this, that, and that. I'm talking about you either have to send him down to a minor league squad, or you're going to have to maybe bring him out of the bullpen, or you have to do something. But you can't just keep trotting him out for the sake of saying we're going to trot him out and pay him all this money. I don't care how much you paid him. If he stinks, he stinks. If he can't pitch, he can't pitch. If he's hurt, shut him down for 60 days. Which, unfortunately, is what happened to Travis d'Arnaud, who goes on the 60-day IL. Ay, ay, ay. So, there's one of your established bats that you thought was your cleanup hitter. So now you're going to tweak and play with the lineup and all that kind of stuff. At least Contreras, their top pitching prospect, gets a shot now, right? We'll get a deep look at what Contreras and Alex Jackson have here over this next few months, but I don't know, man. Braves are just, they're maddening. They're not good at home. They're not good on the road. They can't score enough runs to offset their pitching. We talked about their offense at times. Is feast or famine? The number of games that were below three runs, the number of games above six runs. It's just, it's a maddening, maddening start for the Atlanta Braves. And they get in these weird things, you know. They lost four in a row to start the season. Then they won four in a row. Then they lost four in a row. Then they won a couple in a row. You know, here of late, they had a two-game losing streak. Then they won three in a row. Okay, looking good. Now they've lost four in a row. You know, they can't put any consistency together whatsoever. So they'll be in Washington, and, you know, Noah will start the series. He's been, you know, arguably their best pitcher. You know, Anderson didn't pitch well yesterday. But it's been maddening. You know, and they've done some things offensively. The other night, Pache gets a grand slam, right? They're up 4-0. Ronnie Homer's in the game. You figure you're in good shape. They lose 6-5 in extra innings that night. I don't know, man. They got blown out Friday. That's Smiley, who's awful. It's just maddening right now. It's just maddening to try to figure out. Also not so good news as Atlanta United. They lost on Saturday. You know, goals were, I thought were going to be at a premium in this match. You know, Atlanta United's only goal was on a penalty shot. Of course, you know, one of the two goals for New England was on a penalty shot. I didn't think United's defense early on looked real good. Way too many point-blank, easy-looking chances. Now, luckily, you know, some of those didn't fall in, but New England kept pressing the issue early, and it did pay off eventually, but too many open point-blank chances for New England to start that match off with, and just didn't look pretty. And we talked about with Mike on Saturday just about the fact of, okay, whoever gets a lead first in this match was going to have an advantage. Now, I don't think we saw two penalty kicks coming out of it, right? I don't think we expected two penalty kick goals, you know, one per side out of all of it. But we thought that, you know, whoever got the first goal would find themselves in a real prime position because both of these teams have struggled mightily to score goals. You know, outside of penalty kicks, neither one of these teams has done very much to score very many goals this season. So, just, you know, another kind of, you know, yeah, they created chances. Yeah, they had some decent looks, but just not enough in the back of the net. And unfortunately, their lack of defense early on, you know, cost them. And then, you know, a penalty review that you could make, I don't know, you could make a case that it was either on the line or outside the line. I think what was interesting is the fact that they felt like there was enough evidence to overturn that call. I think that's what was surprising is instead of the free kick outside the box, that it ended up being a penalty kick. I think that's the surprising part is they saw enough evidence to overturn that. But still, just, you know, kind of a, you know, kind of performance from Atlanta United up in New England. So guess what? They've got CONCACAF coming up on Tuesday. So they get that second leg against the Philadelphia. So they're up in Philadelphia. Remember, they did not come home after New England. They went right from Boston to Philly because they're going to turn right back around and play on Tuesday. So it made sense to just stay up there in the Northeast and just get ready for Tuesday. Now, they need a minor miracle come Tuesday if they're going to try to advance in the CONCACAF because they lost 3-0 on their home field. And so, you know, they got to hope for their best route would be a 4-0 victory because they got to make up four. If they're going to advance, they got to make up four goals. I don't know. They haven't scored four goals all year, have they? And they certainly haven't scored four of their, you know, four non-penalty kick goals for the year. So, Atlanta United will be back in action coming up tomorrow night. Now, unfortunately, we don't have that match because that's CONCACAF, so that's, you know, the rights and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, not a great weekend overall. Now, Falcons, and we'll get into this coming up next segment. Obviously, the Falcons draft, first and foremost, of what happened over the weekend. I'll give my thoughts. We'll get some of Jarvis's thoughts, how much they improved in this, that, and the other. Very, very fast takeaways. I think picks 1 and 2 were home run picks. I'm surprised at how much love the Falcons are getting. It's also obvious, and we'll get in the flyover when we talk about we'll talk a little bit about what Arthur Smith. Well, we'll talk a little about in the next segment because I want to kind of save that for I want to kind of save that for a bigger, broader topic, the Arthur Smith comments. But it's obvious the Falcons never intended to take quarterback. If you read the tea leaves and you just read the stuff, quarterback at four was not going to, unless Trevor Lawrence dropped to four, quarterback wasn't going to happen. All right, how much did the Falcons improve? Thoughts on their draft coming up next. Chuck, we're hanging out in the Kia Studios on a late night Monday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on a late night Monday evening here till 2 a.m. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Be a part of the show that way. Odyssey.com app, so you catch it on the go. Social media at 929 The Game. Hit me up on my Twitter page at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90 on Twitter. Give us a follow there. Falcons, of course, draft in the books starting Thursday of last week and going through Saturday. Jarvis and I were talking a little bit about this in the bullpen earlier. Jarvis, aren't you amazed at how many like A-plus grades the Falcons got from – now, look, say what you will about grades. I get it. I'm with you, and I think they're ridiculous. But the fact that so many people gave them like A and A-plus grades, that surprised me. I mean, that – I'm not going to say it was a two-player draft, but it was kind of a – okay, first two picks I think are home run picks. After that – I think it's a real mixed bag of results from there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that because I promise you, I was literally watching ESPN earlier today, which I don't even know why. Oh, you know, but I normally don't, but, you know, I was having...
Were you watching Get Woke?
Oh. No. NFL Dead? No, NFL Dead.
By the way, Greeny can miss the draft next year would be just fine.
Oh, man, yeah. Come on, man. Yeah. Like,
I had to watch NFL Network if I had audio on, I had to watch NFL Network.
Yeah, I can't do, Greeny.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, he's Get Woke.
Yeah.
Why don't they just bring Michelle Beadle up on stage with him, too?
Whew, oh, please don't do that.
Yeah.
But, I saw Mel Kiper talking about, oh, yeah, these guys, A-plus draft. I was like, A-plus? I was like, you must be grading on the curve. Like, after the second round, you kind of just like, they don't count. You're talking about a scale of points and how much each round counts or something like that. Because I look, like you said, I had my thoughts about Kyle Pitts initially, and then I kind of got a little settled with because he's a hell of a talent. I think he's going to be a good player in this league, but – And Richie Grant, you know, we talked about him.
Yeah,
Senior Bowl.
Yep.
Loved him. Saw him up live in person. He is the real deal. But when you start getting out to the Jalen Mayfields and the Darren Halls and Taquan Graham, and I'm sitting there like, man, like what has been a need for this team for the past 10 years damn near?
Yep.
Defensive line, like the fifth round is the first time you take a defensive lineman? Like,
by the way, you took a lineman who in four years at Texas.
In the Big 12.
4 years at Texas had six sacks.
Come on, man. Yeah, I was a little confused. I was sitting up there like, okay, I understood why they were taking certain picks. I understood why they were taking picks, but I just didn't understand where.
Well, right, exactly. I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
You know, that's a good point that you make because – yes, they grabbed some offensive linemen. Yes, they grabbed a defensive end. Yes, they grabbed a defensive tackle that's also played defensive end. Yes, they grabbed some corners and safeties. Yes, they grabbed a wide receiver special teams guy toward the end, which again, from a what position did you grab? I got no problem with grabbing offensive linemen and a defensive end and defensive tackle and a couple of corners and a safety. It's who and where you picked.
What's the priority, man?
Because, look, Jalen Mayfield, yes, physically is the part, 6'5", 320. But nobody thinks he can play right tackle in the NFL. And he played tackle at Michigan. He was hurt. He only played two games last year after coming back where he was talking about sitting out. Then he came back. But he's got the same issues as Caleb McGarry. Fast guys will run right by him. That's his problem at Michigan. Drew Dolman, Everybody got on me about Drew Dolman. Okay, he's a 295-pound center. All of his negatives in his scouting report are the same exact negatives as Matt Hennessy. And Matt Hennessy was taken 36 picks higher than Drew Dolman. Right, wrong, and different. And Matt Hennessy would have been picked by somebody in that same spot. Like, that's about where everybody said that he was about due to go. So you have another undersized center that you grabbed in the draft. Darren Hall, I will tell you, I'm not a big fan of guys coming into the NFL at corner under 6 foot. And they did everything they could to stretch him out to 5 foot 11 and 3/8 was his measurement. I was like, really? Like, we are desperately trying to get him to as close to 6 foot as we can. But he's not a big physical corner or anything like that.
No.
Graham is a guy who's played tackle, he's played end, he's been okay, but he's never dominated at the college level. And again, I know he's a fourth-round pick, but damn, for a team that can't put the quarterback on the ground, you grab the guy that had 6 sacks in 4 years.
Because there are a lot of guys that you passed on to you know, to get to that point. Because, like I said, when you take – you don't touch a defensive lineman until – wow, man, that's just until the fifth round.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth round. That's the first time you're like, okay, let's take the defense line. And I know that they were consistent with the message of, oh, we're not going to reach for guys just because of the knee. I'm just but man, like that. So you mean to tell me like all the other teams are wrong? You know, Patrick Jones went in the third round. You know, you got Rashad Weaver out of Pitt.
But look,
Ojulari went 50th.
Look early on. You saw that. We talked about Greg Rousseau was probably a mid-30s pick, went first round.
Yeah.
You know, Phillips went
Buffalo
high.
Said, yep, we're going to take a chance on him.
Yep. I mean, Ojulari is the only guy that kind of – we talked about Tryon.
Tryon, yeah.
Guess what? He ended up being a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Because
– by the Super Bowl champs.
Look, I can't stress this enough. And I think the Falcons did okay. I think their first two picks – our home runs. I think it's a real mixed bag after that. But a couple of things. One is they didn't draft a quarterback at all. I'm less surprised about them not drafting a running back than I am at not drafting a quarterback. Because I want to get into more of this on our regular 7-Eleven show when the audience is a little bit more expanded. But isn't it obvious now, and I talked about this for weeks on the show, isn't it obvious now what their thoughts about Matt Ryan are? And I said this, Jarvis, on draft night when I tweeted this out. It's amazing how many Falcons fans are angry at the GM and head coach because they believe in the quarterback. And I logged into the Solomon Brothers Diamond Texan on Thursday night. I can tell you. I logged into it, Jarvis, from home. Because I wanted to see what people said.
Oh, man. You know, it was off the chain. Yeah, I'm sure it was off the chain.
And there wasn't a ton and it wasn't terrible, but I knew what the ton and toner would be. How could they pass up on Fields? Because I told you, here's what I explained. That the difference about Pitts and quarterback. Number one, you don't have a dire need for quarterback. Despite what you people think, you don't have a dire need at quarterback. And your head coach and general manager just told you that, by the way, too. You don't have a dire need at quarterback. And it's not just contract, by the way, okay? If they really wanted to move on from Matt, they could still trade Matt next year if they wanted to really move on from Matt. But they didn't even spend a draft pick at all on a quarterback. Doesn't that tell you a lot about what they think about Matt Ryan? If they didn't even invest a guy invest a draft pick in a guy and say, this is a guy we have targeted. Because guess what? They signed Felipe Franks, so yeah, they brought a quarterback in, but you know what Felipe Franks is going to be? Practice squad guy. If you'd have drafted a guy even fourth, fifth, sixth round, you'd have had A.J. McCarron, and that draft pick would have competed for the backup spot. As is, I can promise you right now, Franks is your practice squad guy, and McCarron's your backup. And there's no competition for that. They didn't bring in Felipe Franks thinking that they can develop. He was there. What if Franks had gotten drafted, then who were they going to bring in? So it should tell you a lot about what they think about the quarterback position. That forget number four, they didn't draft quarterback anywhere anywhere. And also, they also drafted a bunch of offensive linemen earlier in the draft, which tells you that they believe in Matt and they know they got to protect him and do what they have to do. It's another point about it. But I'm convinced now that they are going to wait until after June 1st, wait until after training camp, and they're going to hope to have some money, and they're going to try to go find a veteran to play on the other side of Dante Fowler. Because they don't have any options right now at defensive end. None. And you can tell me all the things you want. You have to sack the quarterback in today's NFL. You have to. You cannot be a championship team. Somebody texted in the other day, Jarvis, and I think, I don't know if it was the show you and I were doing or what. Somebody texted in asking about what was the difference. No, tweeted me. I think it was on the college football show. Well, what was the difference about why San Francisco went from 4-12 to 13-3? And the first thing that I wondered about, Jarvis, was I went and said, I wonder how many sacks the 49ers had, team sacks, in each of those years. And what's the magic number I always talk about on this show? 40 sacks, right?
40 sacks, yep.
I always talk about 40. How do you get to 40? The year they were 4-12, 37 sacks. The year they were 13-3, 48 sacks. That's it's a big jump in 1 year. That's now you average 3 sacks per game. You have to do that in the NFL. You can't be a championship team. Look at the defense of the Chiefs. Look at the defense of the Buccaneers. For all their flaws and warts and missteps, they can sack the quarterback. If they can't do anything else, they can do that. You saw the Buccaneers against both, all three games, really, the Saints, the Packers, and the Chiefs. You sacked the quarterback. What have the Chiefs defensively been able to do the last couple of years? They can sack the quarterback. They brought D Ford in, for God's sakes, and got 11 and a half sacks out of D Ford. If you can sack the quarterback, you can figure out lots of other things. You can have other holes in your dam if you can sack the quarterback. And this team can't. So I think the first two picks are home runs. I think Grant and Pitts can be what we were hoping for. You know, when I said about Falcons have to get two home runs, they have to get Wirfs and Winfield in the first round. Okay, I think as of right now, and time will play itself out, they did that. But there are questions about Mayfield, about where he's going to play. I don't think Darren Hall is a, how do I say? I don't know that he's an NFL-ready corner. Dolman is another undersized center. Graham is a guy that's on the defensive line but never sacked the quarterback. Avery Williams, that's a special teams guy. Darby's a straight line down the field wide receiver. You throw it up to him and see what you can get. So I got no problem with the picks and stuff like that. And positionally, I understand. But again, it's where. And if you weren't so deficient at sacking the quarterback, then grab any. Look, the Browns picked a corner in the first round. And Wes Durham was in studio when the draft show, okay? So Wes and Dave and Mike were here in studio. Jarvis, Wes asked me, he says, what do you think the Browns are going to do? I said, in the first round. I said, probably corner. And they've invested in Greedy Williams and Delpit and Denzel Ward, who was the number 4 pick overall. But why would they draft corner? Because they've been so beat up and injured, and they haven't gotten as much production. And frankly, Jarvis, they have a stud running back. They have their quarterback. They have plenty of wide receivers. They have their tight end. They just signed Austin Hooper to a massive contract. They're loaded on their offensive line, really good with Conklin and everybody up there.
They always load an offensive line.
Yeah. They're with the Clowney signing, their defensive line is good to go.
Yep.
Their linebackers are fine. But for all the capital that they've invested in their back end of the defense, it hasn't panned out enough because they can't get those guys heavily. And what they draft? Corner.
Corner.
You have to read the tea leaves about what is going on. I never thought the Falcons would draft quarterback, Q-U-A-R, quarterback at 4. And now when you're reading what Arthur Smith has to say, you see why. You understand now their philosophy and their mentality about what was going on in this draft. All right, coming up next, what's bugging Chuckery? Somebody, I guess, didn't tell Cincinnati's former basketball coach that, hey, man, don't you understand these kids get sweatpants and scholarships and all that good kind of stuff? I'll explain next. Chuckery hanging out with you here in the Keys Studios on Sports Radio 99 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 99 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out late night Monday here, 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey.com app is how you catch us on the go. Social media at 99 The Game, at JMCH316, at Jarvis290. By the way, congratulations as Ronald Acuna Jr. is the National League Player of the Month for April, as he had obviously a monster month. 8 homers, 25 runs, 705 slugging, just a unbelievable month that he had in April. So congratulations to him for being the Offensive Player of the Month, which, you know, here again, it's just more of that madness about the Atlanta Braves. So a couple other quick things about the – before we get into what's bugging Chuckery about the Falcons draft out of all of it. I'm not that surprised they didn't draft running back. Running back to me, do they need running backs? Yes. And by the way, I like the kid out of Louisville that they picked up as an undrafted free agent. I like that move. He's one of the Jarvis. Who was that guy a few years ago that we had that carried it like 10 times for the year, but had like 360-yard runs and a couple of those long touchdowns? He's here about 4 or 5 years ago.
The running back out of Florida State. What's his name?
Yep. Oh, remember, he was here for just a short period of time. But he was that big home run hitter, man. That, like, he had like a handful of runs that went for like 60 yards.
He was fast as all get out,
yep,
too.
Yep. Man, and once he got loose, you know, that's this kid out of Louisville. You know. So I wasn't as upset about not drafting running back. You know, Davis is a stopgap. I joked on Twitter, maybe the happiest Falcon of all was Kadri Allison because, you know, he's got not much competition and maybe they believe in what he can do. I hope he can come through with it. I hope he's a guy that, you know, can get it together. I really liked him at Pitt in college. I thought he was a really good running back. He just, for whatever reason, has not been able to dress and get out and get it done, you know, for the Falcons thus far, at least under the old regime. So maybe the new regime sees something in him. I might as well give him a shot. You invested a draft pick in him. Give him a shot to see. Keep him, you know, from instead of being a practice squad player, put him out there. Let's see what he's got going on. So I'm not entirely surprised at running back. I am honestly surprised at quarterback, just simply because of having a guy to at least – try to develop and have a little bit of competition with. You know, I would have thought that they would have gone in that direction for all of it. But, you know, they didn't. And, you know, they grabbed Felipe Franks as an undrafted free agent, which, fine. I mean, whatever you got to do. I'm going through the names too, Jarvis, trying to find out who it was. Trying to remember who it was. Because remember a few years ago, it was you know, it's been a handful of years now, probably about 4 or 5 years or something like that ago. But anyway, I don't think it was on the
Antoine Smith.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Every time he touched that bad boy, he was taking it to the house.
That's this kid out of Louisville. That's the kid out of Louisville. That he can do that too. I think he led the country in 70 plus yard runs or something last year. Some weird stat like that. But anyway, but it just, you know. Like I said, positionally, the Falcons drafted guys at positions that they definitely needed. I just question after the first two picks how much was best a player available versus need or this, that, and the other. I mean, it's okay to tell me about best a player available, but at some point, if you have a glaring hole in your roster, you got to fix it, right? And I think when it comes to pass rush, there's a glaring hole in the roster that did not get addressed well enough. And that's why it tells me, I think they're going to try to find a cheap option after June 1st, after camp cuts. I think they're going to try to go that route because that's all they got left. That's pretty much all that they got left for all of it. So we'll see. But like I said, I think the first two picks are definitely home runs, and I think the Falcons did themselves well with all of that. All right, speaking of doing ourselves well, let's get to something we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, we talk all the time about the difference between coaching kids in college versus pros. And why some of these guys that come from college or the pros, like Bobby Petrino, don't work out. Because you can't treat 30-year-old grown married men the same way you can treat 18 and 19-year-olds. Case in point, former Cincinnati basketball coach John Brannon, who was fired this past season after only a couple of years. Now, why was he fired? Because there are accusations of intimidation against players, making payment of special benefits for a player, and also, it was also said that, it's coming out now, that he was running some practices where he was literally putting some of the kids maybe in medical danger. In fact, this goes back to an October 6th, 2020 practice where there was an unauthorized conditioning workout in violation of university rules and policies, employment agreement. It got to the point where it was, quote, overly strenuous, and led to several student athletes not finishing a timed run and one student athlete needing to be helped off the court. In fact, the practice didn't end until one of the trainers for Cincinnati had to stop the practice, quote, out of concerns for the safety and welfare of the student athletes. But look, don't you understand, Jarvis? They get sweatpants and they get three meals a day. And it's not a job. It's not a job or anything like that. They're doing it for an education. By the way, did you see who went and got his degree over the weekend? Did you see Robert Horry?
Wow.
How long's he been out of the league? Oh, but see, they get a chance to go. They don't care about going to school at that point. Why can't you understand that? They have to capitalize while the iron is hot and strike then. And that's why name, image, and likeness and all that is so far overdue. You think these coaches give a damn? I'm not saying everyone, so miss me with that dumb take. But here's a case in point. You got Kirk Ferentz. Here's a guy at Cincinnati. You think they give a damn? They know that at 18, 19 years old, they can treat you differently than they can when you're a grown adult male at 30 years old. And they get away with it. But they should be blessed to be there. Hashtag blessed. Hashtag sweatpants. Hashtag three meals a day. And miss me with the, well, they know what they sign up for, crap. Yeah, they sign up for a full-time job to try to better themselves. The whole educational side of things is a farce, people. Sorry, if you're a football or basketball player, it's a farce. How many stories have I come on here with about guys, Marcus Camby, Robert Horry, Julius, guys that go 20 years later and go get their degrees then or whatever? Happens all the time. They can always go back after they've made all their money and go get their degree. So miss me with that dumb take out here. But here again, you have an example in a head coach that knows he can get away with a bunch of stuff, knows that he can intimidate in a way that you can't do at a professional level because he's got cheap, unpaid labor for it. And I laugh when people aren't about giving allowing the kids to accumulate and grab everything they could possibly want. Anybody who is opposed to name, image, and likeness or anything for it, we can't be friends, man. I can tell you right now, we can't be friends. Because these kids put up with a bunch of crap to try to live out their dream and to try to give themselves potential financial security for a lifetime. And in the process, have to go through crap. You have a coach running his players in practice to the point where not him, but a trainer had to stop the practice. Kirk Ferentz had 14 kids go to a hospital for a specific muscle exertion, where literally the whole diagnosis of this is chronic fatigue in your muscle. But you think these guys care? Or they want to get done what they want to get done. Meanwhile, and you know why? You know what's funny, Jarvis? You know what John Brandon is mad at Cincinnati and upset? Because they're saying it was a justifiable firing, and they don't have to pay his $5 million buyout. That's what he's mad about, is that Cincinnati's not giving him the $5 million buyout. But I know, student athletes, and it's the kids, and you know, all that. Okay. Top of the hour, Falcons fly over a couple of fifth-year option news and notes, plus the undrafted free agents that the Falcons picked up. Chuck, we're hanging out in the Key Studio, Sports Radio 910 Game, the Odyssey.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.